Thank you, Sean. That song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, is so appropriate for today because we are celebrating our second year anniversary of Crossroad Church. We started the local church in 2009 on January 17th. And 2 years have gone by so fast, but God has blessed us so much. And today is, another stage we are entering into. We will be ordaining our next pastor for the church, next leader for our church. But when we look back in the past 2 years, God provided for us, protected us, and He helped us to grow. He helped us to come together as a group. And He took care of our financial needs, our community needs, our spiritual needs, and God has gifted us with so many things. God has gifted us with a wonderful elder board. We call elder board / strategic leadership team. And God has blessed us with an amazingly gifted staff. And God has provided us this beautiful provision to come together every week to worship. And also we are able to meet in several homes. We call them missional groups, and we have leaders for the missional groups. And in the last 2 years, God has done this much, and we are looking forward for God's abundant grace in the coming days. And I always remind our friends here that church is not an end in itself. We are not coming here to enjoy life, having great kids ministry and having great sermons, but this is a place where we get trained to reach the world. It is not an end, but means to an end. The end is reaching the world for our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we informed earlier, God uses people as chapters. My role is coming to an end pretty soon. And God has brought another person, more capable, wonderful leader, and he will be ordained today, and he will assume full responsibility on the 1st of May. But until then, it is almost like a relay. The first round is almost done. The second person who is going to run the relay race, he's ready, he's warming up, and we are wonderfully preparing for that occasion. Someone said, you have to have the mindset of Elijah and Elisha. You have to have the mindset of disciples empowering people. It is not all about the leader. It is not about who is taking care of the ministry. It is all about Christ. And if we are all burning with a passion for our Lord Jesus Christ and the message and the ministry He has entrusted to us, people don't matter. It is God who gives to the church gifted people, some to be apostles, some to be evangelists, some to be administrators, some to be prophets and preachers and teachers, all for the equipment of the people of God so that they will go and serve God. That should take place. That is where we should head towards. Today, that is not going to be my passage. I'm going to talk about Good Shepherd. It's more a kind of Christological topic. I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ a lot. Sometimes we use words, but we don't mean them. We use words. Those words have different meanings in different contexts. For example, we use the word cool. When I came from India here, everyone was saying cool, and I was thinking, what is this? I could not really get the meaning of it. Context determines the meaning there. And people who grew up from here, they understand it. It took a while for me to understand cool. Even now, I don't use the word cool because I'm not used to it. The same way, we use the word pastor. But you ask them to define the word pastor, they don't really, are not able to define the word pastor because we don't have a proper definition for it. So that is my task today. Even before we ordain our next leader, we will try to get a biblical meaning for the shepherd or pastor. I'll give you a little bit background of this word. The word pastor is a metaphor developed from the Old Testament from a word shepherd. It is a metaphor that we use now. Actually, it was used in the Old Testament in three different contexts. Primarily, it was used for shepherds or herdsmen. Hebrew word is ro'ah. Ro'ah is a person who takes care of the sheep in the field. We see in Genesis chapter 4, Genesis 13, 46, 47, mostly in Genesis we see this word shepherd often. Shepherd takes care of the sheep. He takes the sheep to the field, and shepherd has a unique relationship with the sheep. He whistles, and sheep understand. They may be scattered around. The minute they whistle, they just run around. If there are two, three shepherds, and if there are two, three flocks, if one shepherd whistles, the shepherd sheep that belong to this shepherd, they will just run around because they understand who their shepherd was. And he would protect them from wild animals, from thieves. Whenever the shepherd was around, sheep would fall asleep. They will be so comfortable. They feel a kind of security and safety. And a shepherd would do everything to protect the sheep. That is where the Lord developed a metaphor to describe his relationship with his people. In several places we see, particularly in Ezekiel 34, the Lord uses the word shepherd to describe his relationship with his people. He said, I am the shepherd. I'll read a few verses here. Ezekiel 34 verse 11, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. And verse 16, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind them in, bind the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. So Jehovah is saying, I am the ultimate shepherd of the sheep, that is nation Israel. But, you know, we see in other places, God literally says, I am the shepherd. That is why David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And he describes his relationship with his the shepherd. He thinks that he is a sheep and his master, that is Jehovah, is his shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And you know that one, you know, all the details. But Jehovah appointed some under-shepherds in the Old Testament. They were religious leaders and kings. We read about them in Numbers chapter 27 verse 16 to 17 when Moses was talking to God and Moses was also talking to his people. This metaphor emerged for leaders. You know, they were not called the CEOs. They were not called the fifth type leader. They were called the shepherds because people could easily understand by looking at the relationship a shepherd had with his flock. And leaders were called shepherds. Kings were called shepherds. But time and again, these religious leaders and kings, the political leaders, they failed. Instead of taking care of the sheep, they took care of themselves. Instead of giving their life for the sheep, they took the life of the sheep. And they built a lot of security and safety around them, leaving the sheep in danger and vulnerability. So God was disillusioned with this. And God prophesies in Zechariah and Malachi. He says, one day you will have a shepherd who will, you know, fulfill all the things here that is listed in Ezekiel 34. He will go after the weak and the meek and the oppressed. He will go after the lost sheep. And that shepherd is going to come. Because the shepherds in those days, religious leaders and kings, failed to take care of the flock. And in fact, they failed in their responsibility. In the Old Testament, although we read about shepherd, but ultimate shepherd was Jehovah himself. And he had appointed under shepherds, but they failed in their responsibility. Now we will come to our passage in John chapter 10. You know where I am going. Jesus comes in John 10 that I call gleanings from Jesus' statements. John chapter 10 verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Boldly, Jesus makes the claim. I am the good shepherd. There is only one person before Jesus who said, I am the shepherd. That is in Ezekiel chapter 34 and Zechariah chapter 10. That was Jehovah. And here Jesus comes. He says, I am the great shepherd. And he lists so many things here. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. You know, as I list some of the things, you just contrast what Jesus did with the kings and the religious leaders of the Old Testament. Jesus lays down his life for his sheep, whereas the religious leaders of Jesus' time and in the Old Testament, they protected their life at the cost of the life of the sheep. And Jesus says again in verse 12, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep and my sheep knows me. Jesus knows every single sheep intimately and his sheep knows him. You know, you go to Genesis. When you read Genesis 4, 13, 46 and 47, you read about shepherd, ordinary shepherd, herdsmen. They would whistle. The sheep would know who their shepherd was. And he knew each sheep so well. You know, you look at the parable in Luke 15. Although shepherd had 99 sheep who were not harmed, still, good shepherd goes after the one that is lost. Jesus says, I am a good shepherd, and I lay down my life for even one sheep. And he says, everyone knows me. I know them so well. There is one more person in the Bible who says, I know you in and out. I have engraved you in the palm of my hand. You know, I protect you even as the apple of my eyes. Even before you were born, I knew you. Even you were in the womb of your mother, I knew you. That is Jehovah. And here comes Jesus and he says, I know every sheep in detail. You know, where we are prone to go astray. Where we are weak. And he knows so well. That is why Jesus says, I know my sheep so well. And Jesus, in the following verses, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. We'll just jump to 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay down my own accord. He protects the sheep. Jesus gives security to the sheep. He is like a leader, the friend, you know, going before the sheep, and he protects. And he says, at the cost of my life, I will protect the sheep. And he's deeply committed to his sheep. You know, you look at other passages, amazing passage. Luke 19, verse 10. Jesus says, Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. There is a very powerful verse in Isaiah chapter 40. I like to read that one. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 11, and God says, He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. And I see that in Jesus. Even in His Nazareth manifesto in Luke chapter 4 verse 19 and 20, He says, I have come to declare the good news to the poor, to the blind, to the oppressed, to the imprisoned. Just like a good shepherd goes after the lost one, Jesus says, I have come to seek and save the lost. And Jesus tells His disciples, 72 people, as He was sending them to the nation Israel, north and south, He says, go to the lost house of Israel. In Jesus' mind, the lost people, weak people, oppressed people, people who cannot help themselves, are in His mind. And we also read in Matthew 15, when a lady came from Tyre, Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus, He says, I came to the lost house of Israel. You just picture Jesus. Jesus is telling that I am Jehovah. Whatever Jehovah said, I will do, in Ezekiel 34, He says, I will do. And I am the good shepherd. And you may ask, what is the implication for us today from this metaphor? What is the implication we have for today from the metaphor of shepherd? Just as the Lord delegated shepherding to the kings in the Old Testament, Jesus delegates the function of shepherding to His followers while He remains the good shepherd. You know, just as Jehovah delegated His responsibility or the shepherding to religious leaders and the kings in the Old Testament, even today He delegates the responsibility to human leaders. But He is the great shepherd. So I want to make I want us to go to another passage. Before that, we will look at John 21:15-17, where Jesus calls Peter after His resurrection. Peter went to Galilee and he went for fishing, and Jesus feeds him breakfast, and Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? He says, I love you. Then Jesus says, feed my flock. Second time He says, I love you, Lord. Then He says, tend my flock. Third time He says, you feed my flock. Jesus enters His sheep to human leaders. Human leaders must tend and care, not dominate and rule over. In Jesus' mind, when He entrusted the responsibility of tending and caring, He didn't have the CEO model that you serve me, you take care of me, you feed me. Instead, when the good shepherd delegates the responsibility, those who are entrusted with the responsibility of shepherding, they need to be caring, they need to be tending. It's something like going after the weak, going after the oppressed, going after the lost. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of sheep which are lost, not in the flock. You look at the parable of the good shepherd in Luke 15. He goes after even one sheep. He was not happy with the 99 being protected, but he wanted to just go and bring, and he doesn't rest until he brings the last one. In our society here, there were several who used to be part of the flock. I'm not talking about Crossroad, but in the family of God. Red, black, yellow, white, you know, from north, south, east and west. When Jesus entrusts the responsibility to human leaders, it is not to build a kingdom, and also it is not build a career out of shepherding, although workman is worthy of his labor. His primary responsibility is to be a good steward to the good shepherd, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times. And I want to make an observation and a theological assertion here. Sheep belong only to Jesus, and Jesus alone is the pastor. Sheep belong to only Jesus, and Jesus alone is the pastor. It may be a news to all of us, the New Testament. We don't have an office as a pastor. But we have a function of a pastor. That is only one place in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. In all other places when this word is used, it is used for Jesus, the great shepherd and the good shepherd. That is why I'm bold enough to make this assertion is all the sheep, you and me, belong to Jesus. And Jesus alone is the pastor, and all others are his under shepherds. If I have the responsibility of shepherding, if Bob becomes the shepherd of this local congregation, you know, we are under shepherds to the great shepherd or good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I have seen people having the title pastor, and some of you, most of you know that I prefer not to be called pastor. And there are a lot of people who like to be called pastor even when they don't have a flock. Pastor is not a title. If someone takes the title to himself, actually it is he is robbing from a good shepherd, because we have only one pastor and we have only one great shepherd, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. All others are given the office if they are called upon, but ultimately they are stewards of the one and only pastor who is worthy to be the pastor. He is worthy to be the pastor because he laid down his life for the lost sheep. He knows in and out. He knows what Subhash is thinking. Man looks at the face, but God looks deep inside the heart. You know, everyone is looking for the strength, but he is able to help me even in my weakness. Sometime back, we in our one of the sermons, we said, God is closer than anyone else we can think of in this world, because Jesus, our God, is our good shepherd. He is worthy to be called the good shepherd. He alone is a good shepherd. He knows us. He has engraved us in the palm of his hand. He protects us. He knows us when we cry unto him. That is why, you know, I'm just systematically taking Bible verses. His ears are open to our cry. You know, his ears are not closed. His hands are not shortened. Because he is our good shepherd. And he alone is our pastor. Only by tending and caring for Jesus' sheep, we demonstrate our love for Jesus. It is not everyone who says, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you. It is one of the cheapest and one of the easiest words we can think of. Lord, I love you. Peter said, Lord, I love you. Jesus said, demonstrate through caring and taking care of my sheep. So, for Jesus, loving him is demonstrated by tending and caring his flock. If I say, as a person who is in the function of pastoring, Lord, I love you. If I love you. And he will say, okay, show me that by loving my flock. Because for him, you are his ultimate object. Our ultimate care. And he expects. You know, sadly, this world is blinded to this. Sometimes we keep the pastor in a high pedestal. And we equate these shepherds to the Old Testament failed kings and the religious leaders. As if God has to come and proclaim again Ezekiel 34. You guys have robbed and you kill and you use all, but you don't care for them. Sadly. Therefore, our faithfulness to Jesus is not measured just in our ability to speak or grow the flock in number, but in our commitment to care for the sheep. I can preach a good sermon. Someone said, you know, my preaching professor said, you are a good storyteller. I can tell stories. Sometimes we can, you know, build the congregation so big, build a nice building. But that is not a demonstration of our love for Jesus. Our love for Jesus is how much we care for our sheep. So we will go to takeaways. What are some of the things we will learn from here? And I'd like to ask you, is there anyone here who is weak, tired? You feel that you are lost. You know, you feel that there is no one understands you. You seem to be in a flock, but you are not in the flock. Come to Jesus. Because Jesus says, come unto me, all who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I don't want to go from here without taking this offer from Jesus. For Jesus, everything is yes and amen. If he says, he will do it. And he's saying, come to me. You know, you may be worried about your finance. You may be worried about your future. Or you may be thinking, you may be carrying a big guilt in your life. You are lost in a crowd, not enjoying the protection of the shepherd. You remember the shepherd who went after the one sheep, leaving the 99 aside. And today he's there. Is there anyone here? You should not step out from this sanctuary without coming to this good shepherd. Because this good shepherd has laid his life for you. He knows you. We can fake before one another. I can fake as if I'm a very religious man by singing and praying long prayers and giving a lot of money. But he knows my heart. And he has the answer to help us. And you know, Isaiah 40 verse 11, it says, our shepherd carries the weakling on his shoulder. Is there anyone? You need a special touch. At the end of the service, please come and visit with me. I'll pray. And we will just look at some passages together. And you know, God wants to be your shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. The second one, takeaway, for those religious leaders and those who are holding some responsibility as leader, emulate Jesus' model in your shepherd care. You know, emulate Jesus' model in your shepherd care. You know, some time back when we did an ordination about a year and a half back, we had feet washing here for two people. Although it was just an act, but it demonstrated Jesus' leadership model. As Jesus was giving a discourse to his disciples, some disciples thought, oh, this man is going to become a king, or he's going to be a real powerful religious political leader. And he said, cause me to sit at your right hand and cause my brother to sit at the left hand. They even brought their mother to recommend. Jesus just stood up and he took a towel around his waist, removed his clothes, tied around his waist towel, started washing the feet of the disciples. That is the leadership that we as shepherds need to emulate. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be first, let him be last. So pagans and in the secular world, they will think, okay, if you want to be a leader, you should be a commander, powerful person. We are powerful because we are serving a powerful God. We are powerful because we are ambassadors, but our relationship and the way we interact with one another is through servant leadership. In Mark 10:45, Jesus says, Son of Man came to this world to give his life as a ransom for many. Victory and success is not in gaining, but in losing. Jesus lost his life. Because of that, we are found. Emulate Jesus in your leadership model, particularly when you are a pastor, a home group leader, even at home when you are a leader. These are the two things I like you to take when you go from here. One, don't go out if you are weak and heavy laden. Come to Jesus. And emulate Jesus in your leadership, whatever you are interested with. Because that counts. In losing, you gain. Bob is going to be ordained today. And we are entering into the next chapter. I'm not building a lot of expectation from us, for Bob. You know, he is just an ordinary person. But he is going to be an under-shepherd here. As you all know, not like me as a full-time minister, he is going to be a minister fully available, but he has constraints. We all need to be working with him. But when he exercises leadership, my exhortation to him is this: emulate Jesus in your leadership. We'll just close our eyes. And maybe I'll pause for 30 seconds. If there is anyone who is just, carrying a big burden, afraid of certain things, come to Jesus. We'll rededicate our life. And we will proceed from there to the next service, next part of the service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us this far. Lord, it is you who has brought us. We are all instruments in your hand. And we don't want to claim anything, any credit. We give you all glory, honor and praises because you have brought us this far, Lord. Provided for us, protected us. And you have brought us to this stage. And we thank you for, Lord, the model you have left for us in this world. And we acknowledge that you are the good shepherd and we don't become or we don't claim your position. But Lord, we are so privileged to work for you as your under shepherd. Lord, we pray that you will give us wisdom, even as Solomon asked for wisdom. Lord, we ask for your wisdom. That you give us all your grace that we will tend and care for the souls you entrust to us, Lord. And we pray that you will, Lord, become strong in us. You will speak to us, empower us. We particularly pray for Bob as, Lord, he is going to fill in the new role, assume new responsibility. You guide him, Heavenly Father. And at this time, we pray for those of us who are carrying big burden or guilt or fear or anxiety. We come to you, claiming the promise you have given us in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all who are heavy laden. Lord, we don't want to carry this load. You carry it from us, Lord. And walk along with us. We thank you for the good shepherd who is caring for us all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.